George Knightley, Groomer. April 17th, 2024. Actually, September 25th, 1817. Reverend Sir, I am mindful, as always, of the great debt that we owe to your eminence, and we are as well grateful for the spiritual oversight you so graciously provide for your people. In the 2 years since the marriage of Mr. Knightley to Miss Woodhouse, my husband and I have spoken together with some regularity about the need to inform you of the intractable situation that has been developing on the vestry. The only question for us was when this would occur, not whether. As you know, Mr. Knightley has been a vestryman for some years now, but has become increasingly difficult since his marriage to Miss Woodhouse. The most recent conflict had to do with some much-needed repairs and improvements at the parsonage, which Mr. Knightley refused to see as most drastically needed. The wallpaper so desperately out of fashion, and still Mr. Knightley refused to consent and carried Mr. Bingham with him. I never would take it upon myself to intrude into the affairs of the church, being of a modest disposition, but my friends have all urged it upon me, even my lord and master, Mr. Elton, when first apprised of the suggestion that I write to you, was entirely supportive. Even so, I would not ever presume to speak directly about any of the vestry business, for that does not concern me, and from which the limitations of my sex exclude me. My sole concern is to speak to the issues of character, which I believe I may have been in a better position to observe. Many of those men whose attention has been excessively diverted by the great concerns of the church have not had the vantage of close observation that others in a more humble station might have. I hesitate to mention my next point, but I feel I must do so because of a certain malicious bit of gossip that has gotten about and may even have reached your ears. It is possible that you might have heard that Mr. Elton, before he and I were acquainted, had presented his suit to Miss Woodhouse and was refused. I myself heard this from our cook, and when I asked Mr. Elton about it, he just laughed carelessly and said that Miss Woodhouse had actually tried to match him up with one Miss Smith. A totally unsuitable match, of course. Mr. Elton laughed that concern away with ease, and I mention it to you here only so that you may know that our motives for raising this most distressing subject are motives that intend the good of our parish only. There's no pique or jealousy in any of our concerns. I write as a close observer of human nature, and as one convinced that any particular defects of character I may have observed in the realm of what Providence intended to be domestic felicity are defects that would affect, quite naturally and negatively, the deliberations of the church. How could it not? Character will out, and what is seen in one arena will eventually make an appearance in another. With so much said, allow me to proceed to the particulars. After reviewing what I say, I believe that you will conclude, along with us, that Mr. Knightley should most certainly be removed from his position as vestryman, and perhaps even reported to the Commission on Untoward Behavior Between the Sexes, CUBS, so recently established by His Grace the Archbishop. This would be a grave step, certainly, but I believe the facts will support me. As you perhaps know, Mr. Knightley is 16 years the senior of his wife, and he has confessed to watching her grow up from infancy and with a great deal of concentrated attention. He has confessed this repeatedly. I've heard it from his own mouth and in mixed company. This suggests, to us at least, a disordered temper. And when these two first made their match, he was overheard by a servant to say that he'd been in love with her since she was 13. 13. When she was 13, he would have been 29. This simply must be reckoned, as a cousin of mine lately returned from America put it most pointedly, as creepy. One doesn't like to resort to slang from the frontier, but sometimes it does provide the mot juste. This is not the worst of it, however. According to all who knew her, Miss Woodhouse, when under the indulgent care of her father, was vivacious, pert, lively, and gay. She was full of life and could always be counted on to enliven any party. As I reviewed the material Mr. Elton recently brought back to Highbury from London, material he obtained from the Cubs offices, I became acquainted with a term that I believe to be most essential as we seek to understand this situation. That term is grooming. From at least the time she was 13, Mr. Knightley was at pains to groom her. This is when it would have begun on his accounting, but I suspect that it began even earlier. He did this in a most calculating way, one designed to put her back on her heels, and in order to make her, impressionable girl, eager and desirous of pleasing him. How was she supposed to resist his age, his maturity, his manners, his sophisticated mien? This he did for the next 9 years, practically haunting the Woodhouses at Hartfield. I do not know that Mr. Elton and I were ever at Hartfield when he was not also there. But the perfidy grows. He did not just while away his hours at Hartfield. He took it upon himself to engage in something else that the material from Cubs described, a practice called gaslighting. The grooming is what he was doing. The gaslighting was how he was doing it. All who knew Miss Woodhouse, as she then was, can testify to her ebullient spirits. And Mr. Knightley was her constant critic regarding those spirits. I heard of many such episodes, for servants have ears, but I was myself an eyewitness to a good portion of one such episode. We were all together on a picnic, and there was a Miss Bates in our company. She is quite a tiresome woman at the best of times, but on this occasion she was being extraordinarily tedious, at least as far as my ears were concerned. Miss Woodhouse put her in her place, deftly, with a mild witticism, and you will scarcely believe me when I say that I saw, at a distance, Mr. Knightley roundly rebuke his future bride for it. She, poor girl, thought it her duty to accept such patriarchal condemnations. What this sort of gaslighting does is convince an innocent party that they are the one who is at fault, that they are always the offender. Badgering such as this is intended as a way of making the object of the badgering extremely desirous of getting back into the good graces of the accuser. I am sad to say that Mr. Knightley pursued his quarry well, and he obtained what he sought. Because my heart does go out to Mrs. Knightley, as she now is, I have on several occasions dropped broad hints that Mr. Elton and I stand ready to help, if ever she needs it. And I even made it a point once to speak directly to her, offering to assist her if she ever needed to get away. You know what she did? She laughed and said, "You are too kind." She then turned and looked Mr. Knightley across the room and laughed out loud again. She may be beyond help, but my husband and I do not believe the parish is beyond help. And so I write, remaining, most sincerely yours, Mrs. Augusta Elton. One hates to do this, of course, but it needs to be pointed out that the above is a satiric send-up, which all will surely understand. What some might not understand, however, is what the target is. It is not, I assure you, Jane Austen, Mr. Knightley, or Emma Woodhouse, nor would it be the propriety of courtship customs in the early 19th century. The object of this needlepoint lies a bit closer to home. In a high-wire move, I'm leaving comments open on this one. D.W. If you are enjoying these videos and would like to support this channel and the work of Canon Press, join up at Canon Plus. Just click the link, create an account, and have a look around.